from Isaiah 53, a climactic prophetic passage which is fitting for an evening like today, tonight. Isaiah 53, 1 to 5 is God's word. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever thought of the uniqueness of Jesus Christ? I want you to recognize how unlike anyone else in the whole world was this man who was God himself and whom we call Savior. And as Pastor Jeff and I, our church, all our leadership would like you to know, Jesus Christ is the centrality to all of life. He is the one for whom we worship. He is the one we gather for. He is the reason that we have church. If it wasn't for Jesus, we would just be a club. But we aren't. We are the church. Because someone has redeemed us, died for us. We are precious to him, even with all our faults and warts and bumps and bruises and all of that. Jesus is the center of our songs. He is the center of our readings. He is the center of our preaching. Everything is about him for us. Isaiah 53 presents a servant. You know, Isaiah is all about where Israel went wrong. God's people went wrong. An extension of Adam and Eve and all of the history that came afterwards. Israel went wrong. And Isaiah's very much a kind of melancholy book because it talks about how Israel went wrong. Maybe up to chapter 39 out of the 66 chapters are all about that. And then there's hope. There's hope in what comes as Isaiah talks of an ideal Israel. An ideal Israel. And really that ideal Israel is a person. It's Jesus, the Son of God, as Israel was called the Son of God. And in that servant, we have the beauty that unfolds, which is our salvation. I don't know about you. I need to be saved. I need help. I know me. I know my weaknesses. I know my faults. I know that I love me more than I love anyone else. Ultimately, even though I say I love God, I love me more. That's kind of how we live, isn't it? Isaiah 53 presents a servant and actually a suffering servant. And this last Sunday, we talked about the surprising path to victory. That he didn't come riding a stallion. He came riding a beast of burden, a donkey, to show that his kingship was different, his kingdom was different. To show that humility is the way. Being a servant is the way to accomplish what we needed most. And what we needed most was not just a king to defeat pagan kings and warring countries, but to conquer sin and death, right? And as I continue to think about Jesus, I have to say, like the hymn writer, I fall in love with him more and more as the days go by. There is nobody like Jesus. And one of the things that I love most is he does what no man can do. He is both truly powerful and truly gentle. You know, humanly speaking, if we are one of those images of strength and power, then people kind of look at us as people who can get a lot done, but they don't have that gentleness to them. They're the ones who are the accomplishers, the A personalities, and they'll get your company going the way you want. But then if you look at people who are gentle, people think, well, they're the squishy, nice, fuzzy people, but can't get a lot done. They don't have the other side. Here is Jesus surprising us with ultimate power, perfect gentleness. Why do I present that? Come on, be honest. You are hurting. You're broken. You're here with worries. You know there's messed upness. There are things that haven't gone right. There is stuff that you are holding so closely and safely in your heart that you wouldn't ever allow anyone to come near that because it's too delicate. And King Jesus is the one who is able to take it. All our bumps and bruises and pains and hurts. And He's the one who says, come. I will never stomp on you. I will never steamroll you. I am powerful enough to take care of your problems and gentle enough to carry you in my arms. There is no one like this Jesus. You know, one of the most striking images or pictures of this is the crocodile. Have you ever seen a crocodile waiting for feast? People who live in Florida probably see this all the time. Well, there's a time of year where the crocodile lie in wait in the river because the wildebeest are going to come. You know, they've got to cross the river. And so they just patiently wait for the herd of wildebeest to come through. And it's like the feast of the year because the waters are quiet until they come through, and then they will use those amazing jaws to chomp and turn and drown and fell the wildebeest, who is 600 pounds, by the way. It's not an easy animal to take down. And you will completely gore up that animal and have the feast of the year. And you know that same crocodile will lay eggs that are so vulnerable, and that same crocodile with the same jaws will carry the eggs with its teeth. All that power subdued to a totally different task. I know it's not a perfect illustration. Pastor Jeff used the illustration of the horse that he rode. I still remember that illustration, Jeff. It's like, it took off without you. It's meekness, restrained gentleness. It is power applied perfectly for you. I don't know where you're hurting. I know where I'm hurting. And King Jesus is the one who says, come to me. I'm both powerful enough to handle your problems and gentle enough not to break anything. The wonderful musician sang, he was bruised for us. Bruised for our iniquities. Pierced for our transgressions. You know, the Heidelberg Catechism unfolds a lot of what we have and what we use called the Apostles' Creed, which is a confession of who we believe Jesus is. Churches all around the world, Christian churches, use the Apostles' Creed, whether they're Presbyterian or
Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or whatever, because it's a summary of what we believe to be true about Jesus, and we call ourselves together Christians. And there is a question in Heidelberg Catechism, questions 37 to 39, that I'd like you to look at sometime. And 37 asks this question, what does he mean when he suffered? Well, do you know that the answer comes something like this and says, he suffered for us his whole life, and especially in his death. I love that, because we tend to only think of the last week of Jesus' life, but his very purpose to come on earth was to suffer for us through his whole life, and especially in his death. I can't help but think of the manger. What the whole world could not contain before, that night held God. And God looked up helplessly. Jesus looked up to his mother for feeding and care. It is the same Jesus who created all the oceans and on the cross said, I thirst. I don't get that. Don't understand that. Of him it says, in him was the light of life, and that was the light of men. And it's the same one who died. How do we have life and death in the same sentence, in the same picture? He was bruised for us throughout his whole life. There is no room for him in the inn. He was rejected by his own family members and the whole crowds, right? He waited his time so that we would never be homeless. He was rejected so we would never be rejected. It was a reversal for our good. My brothers and sisters, I know that you are here tonight struggling in your own ways, perhaps carrying burdens from a year that's been chaotic. And in your own individual lives, you have hurts. You have delicate eggs in King Jesus. Asks you to trust him with it. He was pierced for us. The King of glory made himself into the form of a servant, as Isaiah presents it. A servant. The King of heaven became a servant so that we could be tenderly cared for. Can I end with just a couple verses from a chapter earlier? I came across this passage and I loved it. Listen to this. Isaiah 40, 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Isn't that beautiful? The king, the servant, is powerful yet gentle. Trust him. If you don't know him, you're here tonight because Jesus is knocking at your door and saying, I'm the one. I'm the one you can trust. Because I'll love you more than you love you. Bruised for us. Let's pray. Thank you. I am humbled, Lord, that you would do all that. That you would leave glory, that you would take the spitting on your face and the smashing of fists, and you subdued all that power. The one who leveled the mountains, could level the mountains, became obedient even to death on a cross. We thank you that you did that for us, that you were pierced for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Lord Jesus, we give ourselves to you, and it's in his name I pray. Amen.